asthma. It's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Morena, Celine. Thank you for coming and having a chat with us this morning on a Tuesday, not your normal day in the office. How are you?
I'm good. I'm dry, so I'm feeling terrible for those who are not feeling dry as I wake up this morning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big time. It's been a very hard out weekend for a lot of people and for a lot of renters who've had some intense flooding go through their houses, maybe a leak that they didn't know was there that suddenly made itself apparent, and looking for a little bit of advice on how to maybe manage that conversation or the sort of next step. Steps with their landlord or property manager. I think we'll start with carpets because that seems to be a big one that's come through on the text machine already. Whose responsibility is it to rip up a carpet or to manage a soggy carpet in a flat that you're renting?
Okay, yeah. So I would say I don't know exactly. That's the trouble because so much of this is like a grey area. So I would say it's really about having a conversation with your landlord. There will be some more specific advice potentially around that, but I would basically say that the main thing you want to be doing is your main responsibility as a tenant is to communicate. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at some resources that Renters United have come up with to really guide renters post-floods or while we're still dealing with this weather. And so I would have a conversation with your landlord about what's happened. I would document stuff. I would take photos. Obviously, you're trying to stop the flooding when it comes in, but if you've got really, really damaged carpet, then that's something that really is beyond your responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's to do with there's particular stuff about like an act of God or something. So that's not your responsibility. I think they frame it as neither responsibility. So it's really about finding that kind of middle point situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really hard one. A lot of the advice we're seeing about carpet that, I mean, I wish this was a little bit more accessible at the moment. Yeah. There's been a lot of conversation about maybe a lot of the information not being super accessible at the moment, but, you know, people getting sodden carpet seems to be a pretty common one right now, and that's a big mould problem down the line. I've seen it bandied around a bit that 48 hours is pretty much as long as you can leave it before it really starts to be an issue, so you should be getting onto that one as soon as possible. And also, if your landlord is dragging their feet about doing something about it, you should really be pushing them on that too. So because you want
it does feel like it's ongoing impacts of the stuff that's happening now. 100%.
Totally. Also, health and safety being a big part of it as well. What happens if your flat is so damaged or your rental property is so damaged that you can't really safely stay there? What's the deal with that one, Celine?
Yep, so I can definitely help with that. I would say for the more specific types of damage, it's difficult because you're really kind of looking for help. But when it's more clearly so seriously damaged that it's uninhabitable, so again, these are all things that are kind of, when there's a grey area, it's harder to kind of make the distinction. But when it's uninhabitable for a different reason, you do not have to pay future rent. So mm-hmm. you're not still paying rent on that property. And you can give your landlord 2 days' notice to terminate the tenancy. So if it's uninhabitable, you can give 2 days' notice. However, it's important to also know that in these situations, your landlord or property manager, they're also able to terminate the tenancy in 7 days.
Right.
So I know that that has happened to a few people where suddenly their tenancy is over in 7 days, their house is uninhabitable, and they're in this new situation. So again, kind of reach out for your Tenants Protection Association, your help with that. Mm-hmm. But you are able to terminate the tenancy and you're not paying future rent if you can't live somewhere. That's also true if it's partially uninhabitable. So if one of your rooms or something is so seriously damaged that it's uninhabitable, if you can still live in the property, your rent must be reduced accordingly. So again, the amount that it's reduced is not clear and you kind of have to negotiate with your landlord, but you can reach out to the tenancy tribunal if they're not offering what you think is a significant reduction that's kind of in keeping with that changed living standard. And you can also apply to the tenancy tribunal to terminate the tenancy. So if it's damaged, mainly I think the main advice Renters United has great resources online on Instagram and things at the moment. But if your rental's damaged, you really need to notify the landlord. So if you're notifying them of the damage, if you're taking photos, if you're showing them what's going on, then you really have a case. If they do drag the heels, if it becomes an ongoing issue with carpet or something, then you've got really evidence for all of that.
Totally.
And there's also good advice. If you're looking for the Auckland Council or Auckland Regional Public Health, they've got really good cleanup advice post-flooding if you're really trying to get into it and get some of that done yourself now and it's in your capability to do so. That's where I would look for advice.
What happens if... So, I mean, obviously, with things like a flood, you just want to get stuff out. You want to get that water out. You want to get that wet carpet out as soon as possible. What happens if you're having a hard time getting hold of your landlord? We've had a couple of texts about that. What should you be doing? Is it okay to just make a judgment call if your carpet's saturated? What do you reckon would be good advice for people who are really having a hard time pinning down the people who are responsible for their property?
Yeah, I would say that is a really hard one, and I don't know exactly. You could always call kind of an official tenancy services hotline or something, but I think they're all probably pretty busy too. I would say, unfortunately, you kind of follow the normal steps, so thinking about that. If they're not replying, that notice to remedy, etc., where you really prod them into action. But there's also... just think about it in terms of what the tenancy tribunal will look at and see as fair, I would say. Yeah. So, like, there's a distinct point in which if it's for health and safety reasons, you can act or get a contractor to act and then bill the landlord. So they don't really like that happening. But if you can argue that it's to do with safety of the property or health, you can probably do that and follow up with them afterwards. And I don't think the tribunal will look on you, if you're protecting your own health, as doing something out of step.
Totally. We've had a text to that effect come through. Hey, Celine, yeah. We've had our carpet ripped up in our flat thanks to our landlord, which was great. He reckons it's safe to inhabit the flat. We're not so keen. The walls are still pretty damp and we're seeing a little bit of mould. Any advice for managing that conversation?
Yeah, see, that's the hard thing, where it's kind of, again, why we need a warrant of fitness for rentals, because this is when that could really come into force. I don't want people living in properties that were already kind of damp that are now really, really dangerous. So it's a difficult one. I would, again, I'm not really the expert enough. I would really call Tenancy Services, Tenants Protection Association, but maybe get some other advice from friends or family. Maybe, you know, just if you really are not comfortable with how it's looking and feeling in there, then I would get some advice from friends or parents or someone who might be able to have another thought that's not an interested party, or someone who cares about your health could come in. And then I would just really try and find a way to get out of that least if possible.
Yeah, totally.
You could argue that you don't think it's habitable. Just take photos, I would say. If you're going to want to be trying to break the lease and using the grounds of that, then just get your evidence, collect your evidence, and hopefully you'll be in a better position to break that and try and move somewhere that feels healthier, as you should have.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we'll keep these questions coming through on 53395, but what are some good resources people can go and access, Celine, if they need some more significant help?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, as we hate hearing, but it is unprecedented in a certain sense, but in terms of flood-specific stuff, Renters United are doing a really good job of kind of coming up with the best post-flood response. So I would keep an eye on their social media and website. They'll keep updating it as they kind of get more questions and develop more resources. You can also Facebook message them for more support. They have a good list of kind of our usual tenants protection resources. I would also think that Tenancy Services would be starting to develop flood-specific response stuff, so their websites will probably get updated. But also just to remember that if you need other assistance, like there's other services, so accommodation assistance, you remember to phone Auckland Emergency Management, If you need welfare assistance, Ministry of Social Development, like, reach out to those other resources as well. And I know if you're a university student, they kind of are advertising different counselling services and support services. So really just, it's not only within the renting sector, because as we know, that doesn't really do much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I would start with Renters United, and they're a really good place to start as an advocacy program for tenants.
Yeah, totally. We'll put all the links to this in the podcast after the show, but if anyone needs the number for accommodation assistance right now, it's 0800 22 22 00. So 0800 22 22 00. So go get on that one. And then the MSD welfare assistance number as a result of flooding is 0800 400 100. So that's 0800 400 100. We will put all those links in the podcast after the show. Thank you so much, Celine, for coming in on a Tuesday to chat natural disasters and renting. Love it. Love to have you here. Stay dry, stay safe. We'll talk to you very soon.
See you soon.
Ka kite.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.